Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Got some great news breaking. This was all across my Twitter feed last night. And the great news is that people all over the world are really starting to push back against authoritarianism. So let's dive right into the article. And I think what's great too is they're becoming so vocal about it, the mainstream media can't continue to ignore these marches or these protests. And in some areas, they've turned into riots. Now, I want to be very clear. I do not condone violence of any kind. I do not condone the destruction of private property for any reason. So what we're going into here, I'm going over the news. I'll give you my editorial, but I want to make it crystal clear that in areas where there has been destruction of private property, I do not agree with that. I might agree with the philosophy, but I don't agree with the approach. So let's get into the article. Protests against Cerveza sickness rules and lockdowns erupt across Europe. The key takeaways: protests against fresh Cerveza sickness restrictions have continued to rock Europe over the weekend. There were demonstrations in Vienna, Brussels, Amsterdam against Cerveza sickness rules. And I would add to this, and they even include it in their story, so I don't know why they didn't include it in the title. Croatia and Zagreb, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the capital of Croatia. We'll get into that in a moment. But fresh, and of course, they always point out, fresh cases continue. That's fine. But I also want to point out to the mainstream media that just because you have, and what I'm going to here is the Johns Hopkins site, and this is data for specific states. You can pull them up, and you can see there, I'm not going to say this for YouTube here, but the rate at, or their the number of doses of the medicine, cases, deaths, and you can see there's just, regardless of what the mandate is or the policy from the government, there is no correlation whatsoever with mandates, restrictions, and what the Cerveza sickness does. It's at very best seasonal, I think, but at some point in time, So I was going to say at some point in time, the politicians will have to admit that they can't control this, that it's going to do what it's going to do. But then that would lead them to the conclusion that we need to allow the decision-making process to be done by the individual. And that is the antithesis of their overall objective. Because the whole goal here, remember, is to never let a good crisis go to waste. That's my opinion. And so they've got to continue this ruse that they're trying to really, this ruse that they're using to try to pull the wool over your eyes. I think that's the best way I can say it. And this ruse basically states that they have control, and when the Cerveza sickness gets out of hand, well, then that requires them to take more of your freedom and liberty away to smash that evil Cerveza sickness. And if they just kind of sweep it under the rug, that these mandates really are ineffective and they just do a lot more damage than they do good, and that the cost is far, far higher than the benefit, then again, we come to the point where they would have to leave the decision-making up to the individual. And that means they don't get the power and the control. So I just, if you're ever wondering, what these mandates do or how effective or ineffective they are, just go to the Hopkins website and then look at when a certain state or city, if you've got the data, implements a certain regulation, and then just look at the actual numbers, and you'll see, again, there's, when you look at multiple states, when you look at multiple countries and don't cherry pick, you see that there's absolutely no correlation whatsoever to the mandates and what the Cerveza sickness decides to do. So going back to the original story here, because I always like to include that, because the mainstream media always inserts something to make you believe that the politicians are justified in their draconian measures, that somehow the politicians are justified in their push towards authoritarianism, that there's some sort of safety or there's some sort of health benefit or some sort of health rationale for their, for taking them down that path of usurping more power and control, or usurping more freedom and liberty from you and the people you love. So protests, again, they erupt in Brussels, Vienna, Rome, Amsterdam, and Croatia. This is in Austria. Oh, here we go. And see, they always have to demonize these people. The demonstrator lights a smoke bomb during a rally held by Austria's far right Freedom Party. I mean, it's almost getting to the point where far right is kind of a badge of honor. If you're quote unquote far right, that just means that you're basically a centrist as of 2019. And what's nice here is that they're actually reporting, they may be understating it, but at least they're reporting that there's a lot of people gathering. Where if we would have seen this probably 3 or 4 months ago, they would have said, oh yeah, 500 people, but yet 35,000. So it's good that they're actually showing us the images as well, and not just trying to paint the picture of what they want you to believe is happening on in the actual trenches or on the ground. In Belgium, protesters clashed with police after tens of thousands of people gathered in a march through Brussels city center Sunday. The Protest for Freedom march primarily aimed at protesting against stricter cervasive sickness restrictions was attended by about 35,000 people. And go on to talk about, now in Rotterdam, unfortunately, they had riots. And that's unfortunate. I mean, it's good to see that you're not alone in your belief that the individuals should have sovereignty, and that you believe that we should push back against this authoritarianism. That's good. But I do not like to see that expressed through violence or a destruction of private property. So it got to the point where the Dutch police had to use water cannons and fired warning shots, injuring 2 people. That's unfortunate. But again, these governments at least know that people are pushing back, and they're not just going to passively allow the governments to micromanage their life indefinitely. So they're protesting a lot of the quote-unquote health passports. This is in Rome. And then in Zagreb, that's what I was talking about earlier. I can't believe they didn't mention that. That was probably the biggest rally. I mean, look at the amount of people here. And this is what the mainstream media is admitting to. So, I mean, if anything, they're going to try to downplay how many people were actually there. And this was all over this past weekend.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
And then they go on to say that in Germany, politicians are beginning to debate the need for mandatory medicine, a move which would prompt protests if implemented. I think it absolutely would. And you've got to ask yourself, you know, if you're one of these people that believes, well, they've got a big spike in cases, therefore they don't have a choice. They've got to do something. They can't just do nothing. Well, then I would encourage you to go back into the Johns Hopkins site and just pull up a bunch of states, pull up 20 different states and then put a line on the timeline, or put a mark on the timeline when they implemented a lockdown, or when they implemented a mask mandate, or when they implemented the medicines, and see if there's any correlation whatsoever to the cases, to the hospitalization capacity, any of that. And you'll see that there's no correlation. So the fact that these governments are coming out and usurping more power and control in the name of getting the cervasa sickness eradicated, or in the name of controlling the cervasa sickness to a greater degree, you know that it doesn't pass the sniff test. You know they're lying to you. You know there's some sort of ulterior motive. And here I'd like to highlight this as well. The country's 7-day incident rate has hit a record high over the past 2 weeks, which obviously is unfortunate. I mean, I'm not one that says that the cervasa sickness is insignificant. I mean, you don't want to get the cervasa sickness. The problem here is to assume that the government can control it. And they can't at the end of the day. It's going to do what it's going to do. The only option is to turn your country into a police state, a totalitarian police state like Australia, indefinitely. Because once Australia decides that they've had enough of this totalitarian approach, then what's going to happen to the numbers as far as the cervasa sickness? They're going to skyrocket. And it's going to go right back to what you would see in Florida or California or Arizona or any place in the United States or Germany, for that matter. You're not going to eradicate this thing with the tools that we have right now. But what I wanted to highlight here is this part where they say, well, only 69% of the population has the medicine. I'd like to remind everyone that prior to just, 6 months ago, the mainstream media, the politicians, you know, Biden, all these people, Fauci, were coming out. And what was their magic line in the sand for the rate of medicated people in the community? What was the line in the sand that we would need to get to reach, quote unquote, herd immunity? Remember, it was 70%, roughly. But now they're saying, well, only 70% of the people. And if 70% of the people have the medicine, then how many people have the exact same benefit through natural immunity? All of a sudden, that's got to be at what, 85, 90%? So you see, another thing I'm trying to illustrate here is that there is no end game to these policies. You cannot eradicate this thing. The only thing you can do is learn to live with it. So you can learn to live with it with the same amount of freedom that you've enjoyed for your kids and your grandkids, or you can say that we're just going to lock ourselves in our house for the rest of our lives because we're so consumed with fear. We're alive, but we're not living. Now, I went off on a tangent there because I wanted this article more to be about the good news that people are really pushing back. And, you know, when I did the RV tour, I think I talked about this last night on the live stream on the George Gammon channel. The main thing I heard from individuals out there, and we were in Tucson, El Paso, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and I actually heard this a lot at Mark Moss's event where I spoke over the weekend, is that people who value freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and that understand why we should prioritize individual sovereignty and why we should push back on authoritarianism, they feel as though they're all alone because all of their friend and family member Freds are telling them that they're crazy, that they're a tinfoil hatter, that they've completely lost their mind. And why not just obey the government? Why not just submit? What's the big deal? You know, why not just get the medicine, even though you don't think the risk reward is appropriate? And again, I'm not anti-medicine, just anti-mandate. I think that people should be left to their own decision as to the risk reward for themselves and their family. But you've got all these people, I'm sure, bombarding you at your workplace, in your neighborhood, on social media, to the point where you look in the mirror and say, well, maybe I'm the crazy one. But the reason I like to go over articles like this is to remind you that you are not alone, my friend. In fact, you are part of the silent majority. You need to remember that, because understanding that we are part of the majority and coming together as a group, as a community, that's where the true power lies. And I think it's great that we have the Second Amendment in the United States. And I think that everyone should practice that if they so choose. But at the end of the day, I think there is even more power in people coming together as a group and practicing civil disobedience and letting the politicians know that they have gone too far. All right, guys, hopefully that was some good news for you, that people are starting to stand up and fight for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. Make sure you're doing the same.